Keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Isaiah 26:3. 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. 1 Peter 5:7. Psalm 56:3. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. Psalm 56:3. 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. 1 Peter 5:7. Psalm 55:22. Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He shall never let the righteous fall. Psalm 55:22. Jeremiah 17:7. Blessed is the man whose trust in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. Jeremiah 17:7. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to the book of 1 John, chapter 4, verse 10. 1 John, chapter 4, verse 10. You see this verse on the screen, which may be difficult for you to see from where you're sitting. And if so, you can turn to the back of your bulletin. On the back side of your bulletin, you will see 1 John, chapter 4, verse 10. I trust that you'll turn to that passage of Scripture in your Bible. You will also be seeing it on the back of your bulletin. You will see it on the screen, I trust, from where you're sitting. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. As we begin our service today, I need to remind you that there are two words that are very, very important in preparation for the study of God's Word. The first word is restoration. We call it RTF, which is restoration to fellowship. Those are the simple letters that we use. It's important that we understand the meaning of restoration to fellowship. That simply means that when we come to a service like this, we spend just a moment to be sure that we have our sins confessed and that our hearts are in tune with the Lord Jesus Christ. That leads us to the second word, which is comprehension. We call that the grace system of comprehension, GSC. These are not letters that are new to you because you've heard this many times over the last years. The grace system of comprehension simply means that when we're in fellowship, the Holy Spirit makes it possible for us to comprehend and understand the communication of His Word. It's important for us then to be aware of the fact that every time we come together, we need to think in terms of restoration to fellowship and then thank God for the grace system of comprehension. May we bow for a moment of prayer, please. We're thankful today, Father, for the fact that we can admit our faults and failures and sins and know without doubt that our hearts are right. It's not based upon us. It's based totally upon what you've done for us and what you do for us every single day. We're thankful that we can admit our sins and know that we're forgiven. And in doing that, we know that we're cleansed of sin and we're filled with the Spirit of God. That then makes it possible for us to be able to understand the wonderful truths of your Word. We are thankful today for the Word of God. We're thankful that you've given us so many, many wonderful blessings. And in these moments that we're studying today, we pray that we will realize how important it is for us to receive the dissemination of your Word, that we will then take the Word which we learn and make application of it so that we can have a life of joy and peace and contentment and happiness. We realize that this is the only way that this is possible. So help us not to forget how important it is to be restored and then appreciate God's system of comprehending the truth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 John chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world. The world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. 1 John 4, now verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God shows His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. And then our verse for today. This is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Today we emphasize the subject of divine love related to divine essence. Divine love as related to divine essence. I'm sure that all of you today could give us the 10 attributes that we've been preaching through the years. Sovereignty, righteousness, justice, love, eternal life, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, immutability, veracity. What I'm going to do is to take 7 of those points and emphasize the fact today that you and I have a magnificent gift, the gift of God's grace and love. In the second session, we're going to be dealing with the characteristics of love. God's love is manifested. God's love is awesome. God is a God who is classified by many as the awesome God. God is a God of order. God is a God of accuracy. I'm sure that you're aware of the fact that a God-planned life is a successful life. Somewhere in your notes, you ought to write these words. A God-planned life is a successful life. Somewhere in your notes, you should write, a life given over to the Lord's care is a fulfilled life. Those two major emphases, a God-planned life is a successful life, and a life given over to the Lord's care is a fulfilled life. I don't know whether you need to hear this or not, but it was a little bit interesting to me when I read about the accuracy of our Heavenly Father. For example, God's accuracy may be observed in the hatching of eggs, having grown up on a farm, being familiar with chickens and turkeys and guineas and eggs. I thought this was interesting. God's accuracy may be observed in hatching of eggs. For instance, the eggs of a potato bug hatch in 7 days. Those of the canary in 14 days. Those of the barnyard hen, 21 days. The eggs of ducks and geese hatch in 28 days. Those of the mallard in 35 days. The eggs of the parrot and the ostrich hatch in 42 days. If you notice what I just read to you, they're all divided by 7, the number of the days in a week. The lives of each of you may be ordered by the Lord in a beautiful way for His glory, if you will only entrust Him with your life. If you try to regulate your life, your own life, it will only be a mess and a failure. Only the one who made the brain and the heart can successfully guide them to a profitable end. God's wisdom is seen in the making of an elephant. The 4 legs of this great beast all bend forward in the same direction. No other quadruped is so made. God planned that the animal would have a huge body, too large to live just on 2 legs. For this reason, God gave it 4 so that it can rise from the ground easily. The horse rises from the ground on its front legs first. A cow rises from the ground with its 2 hind legs first. How wise the Lord is in all the works of creation. God's wisdom is revealed in His arrangement of sections and segments, as well as the number of grains. Each watermelon, for instance, has an even number of stripes on the rind. Each orange has an even number of segments. Each ear of corn has an even number of rows. Each stalk of wheat has an even number of grains. Each bunch of bananas has its own lowest row, an even number of bananas. And each row decreases by 1, so that 1 row has an even number and the next row an odd number. I thought you ought to know this. The waves of the sea roll in on shore 26 to the minute in all kinds of weather. All grains are found in even numbers on the stalks. And the Lord specified 30-fold and 60-fold, 100-fold, all in even numbers. God has caused the flowers to blossom at certain specified times during the day. Thus the Lord, in His wonderful grace, can arrange the life that is entrusted to His care in such a way that it will carry out His purpose and His plans and will be a beautiful aroma with His presence. And this statement that I gave you at the beginning, only the God-planned safe life is successful. Only the life given over to the care of the Lord is fulfilled. I enjoyed reading this. Our God is a God of love. Our God is an awesome God. It's amazing to me when I look at a passage of Scripture like we have before us today. Dear friends, if you look at verse 1, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. In verse 2, it says, this is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. When you skip down to verse 4, it says, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. How many times have I said, you and I living in this magnificent time between Pentecost on the one hand and the resurrection of the body of Christ on the other hand, we live in the time known as the age of grace, the church age. This is the time when the Scripture says, Jesus speaking, I in you and you in me. Which simply means that since you and I have accepted Him as Savior, we have the imputed righteousness of our Lord. You're dear children, and you're from God, and you have the ability to overcome the world, because the one who is in you is greater than he who's in the world. And then we get down to verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another. For love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Then you'll go to verse 9. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. How fantastic is verse 9. This is how God loves us. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent the one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. And then our verse here, verse 10. I want you to see it on the back of the bulletin there. In this is love. We stop on that word love. It is the Greek word agape. A-G-A-P-E. I'm sure that you know that there are various words in the New Testament for love. There are various words for love in the Greek language. Some of the words in the Greek language for love are not in the New Testament. For instance, one of the words that's not in the New Testament is the word eros. E-R-O-S. It is the Greek word from which we get our English word erotic. It is not in the New Testament. The word agape is in the New Testament. It is the word that is used here three times. We have the word philos, the verb phileo, which is used in the New Testament. There's the word storge, which is a word from the Greek language that emphasizes a relationship with a family, for instance. In this, the verse says, is love. Not that we loved God. I want you to stop with me and look for just a moment at the second word for love here. It is the fact that we have not loved God. And the way that that word is used is unique. I have to stop and tell you what it means. It is still the Greek verb agapao, A-G-A-P-A-O. But notice, if you will, how it's used. It's a perfect tense verb which emphasizes something that took place in the past, consummated in the past, and continues on to this present moment. We didn't love God in the past, consummated in the past, and so often people do not continue to love God even to this present moment. Even those who've been born into God's kingdom oftentimes do not love God. Did you notice what I just said? You'll say, well, that's startling to say that. You mean you can say that a person has been born into God's kingdom and doesn't love God? We talked about it at the beginning of our service today, the importance of loving and responding to Him by realizing the importance of perception to His Word and the importance of being willing to comprehend the truth under the membership of the Spirit of God and the leadership of the Spirit of God. Perfect tense verb here, active voice. The subject does not produce this action. The indicative mood is the mood of reality. They continue not to love God. But let's not stay there. Let's move to the next part of the verse. But that He loved us. If you'll go to the back of your bulletin and look at this verse also on the screen, you will see that the next word for loved is a different word. It's the same Greek word, agapao, but it's used differently in the original language. It isn't necessary for me to go into all the various facets of this verb to conjugate the verb for you, but I do need to tell you that this is an emphasis upon the fact of God's love for mankind. It says, at point of time, God loved us. My question to you is, when did God begin loving you? When did God begin loving me? And we have to answer that by saying there never was a time when He didn't love us. He's always cared for us. It's amazing to me Divine love is related to His essence. And His essence includes sovereignty, righteousness, justice, on down the line. Let me give you 7 points quickly. Number one, God does not possess life as we do. God is life. We're looking at divine love related to divine essence. God does not possess life as we do. He is life. God lives eternally and infinitely. Oh, that we might be able to comprehend just a little bit of what I've just said. God does not possess life. He is life. God lives eternally and infinitely. Now that's beyond my thinking. I'll have to admit, I cannot fully comprehend that, and neither can you. God does not possess life. God is life. Number two, part of God's life is love. Part of God's life is love. And since it comes from His integrity, we will have to say that the love that God has for us is perfect love. There's not anything imperfect about it. It is all there. Now, I have to tell you that I saw, I believe on television this morning, that there was a couple that was celebrating their 86th or 87th wedding anniversary. Now, I can't imagine that. It showed their picture, and they're now answering questions on how to have a long, happy relationship. And they're doing it by Twitter. Do you know anything about Twitter? Well, here's an old couple having been married for 86 or 7 years. And they look like they're still happy. They're sitting there smiling. Can you think how it would be to smile after living with your companion for 87 or 86 years? Perfect love? Not really. But they have learned some things over these years. I want you to know this morning was a happy morning at our house. I'm telling you, during the night, I knew that there'd be something at my plate this morning for my companion. I didn't know just what it would be, but I knew it would be there. And at 2:30 this morning, I went in, slipped through the house in the dark, and I got the gift that I had put out to give to her at her plate so that she would find it this morning. In the morning, when our coffee has already come on, it's ready, it's either she or me that says, I'll go get some coffee. Well, I let her go get the coffee this morning. When we came to time for breakfast, the pancakes were heart-shaped. The strawberries were cut heart-shaped. Cranberry juice, bread. A card. I mean, what am I trying to tell you? Now, you've quit listening to my sermon and started listening to my story. I'm talking about love. It is God who gives us this kind of love. And I wrote it down here. It's beautiful. I'm going to look at it again. God's love is manifested. Our God is a God who's awesome. Our God is an orderly God. A God-planned life is a successful life. A life given over to the Lord's care is a fulfilled life. I like that. Part of God's love, part of God's life is love. And it comes from His integrity, which is perfect love. Number three, love also belongs eternally and coequally to each member of the Godhead. Please understand what I'm saying here. Love also belongs eternally and co-equally to each member of the Godhead. That tells me that the Holy Spirit has sovereignty, righteousness, justice, love, eternal life, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, immutability. It tells me that the Heavenly Father has the same characteristics. Jesus Christ, the same characteristics. I like to think about this. I look back in my own mind, in the eternal ages past, and I see the members of the Godhead, Deity 1, Deity 2, and Deity 3, with all these same attributes and characteristics. And I see the members of the Godhead as they look down upon mankind, and they see Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden disobeying and becoming fallen creatures. And my question is, God, do you really love Adam and Eve in the light of what they've just done? And the answer comes back, oh yes, I do. I love with an eternal love. I care. I will provide everything that they need so that they can have a life of joy and peace and contentment and happiness. And they discuss that matter, the members of the Godhead. And as they discuss that matter, Deity 2, the pre-existent Christ, said to Deity 1, the Heavenly Father, let me go to the earth and let me go to the cross and die. Let me express your love for mankind. That's what this passage says. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. And so Deity 2 said to Deity 1, I'll do it. You talk about love. I don't believe any one of us today comprehends that. We're trying to. I think what we're trying to do is to understand how much He really cares. And in the light of His love for us and His care for us, we ought to be concluding today, what should my response be to that kind of care and love? It says here in this passage of Scripture, we didn't love, but that He loved us. Love also, number three, belongs eternally and co-equally to each member of the Godhead. Number four, therefore, divine love is compatible with all the other attributes. If you look at these 10 characteristics, I'm only giving you 7 of them now, but one of those, of course, is the emphasis on love. And I'm saying here that divine love is compatible with all the other attributes. Let's subpoint it. Number one, sovereign. This tells us that His love has self-motivation. Self-motivation. Can we comprehend that just a little bit? Self-motivation. That's sovereignty. Let's go to the second word, eternal. Therefore, His love exists eternally. His love never had a beginning. There never was a time when He did not love. There never will be a time, never will be a time when He does not love. Eternal. Let's go to the next word, holy. Therefore, His love possesses fairness and justice and perfection in His righteousness. How many times have I said to you, when God looked down on mankind, He said, something has to be done to solve this problem. It's a spiritual problem. And there's only one way that a spiritual problem can be solved, and that is with a spiritual solution. I don't want you to get tired of hearing this. I want you to hear it one more time, and then after this, many more times later. God solved the spiritual problem with a spiritual solution. That's the reason why when Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross, at one point He said, "It is finished." Telestai. He didn't say, "I'm finished." He said, "It is finished." Which meant that He was very much alive when He said that. If He said it when He was very much alive, what did He say? What did He mean? How do we understand it? If He said, "It is finished," without saying, "I'm finished," what was He talking about? What was finished? It means that the spiritual problem had been solved by a spiritual solution. And the spiritual solution is the death of Jesus Christ spiritually and then later physically. It's hard to understand a spiritual death, isn't it? I mean, I can talk about it and you can hear it. But if He solved a spiritual problem with a spiritual solution, what did He do? He gave Himself totally. The Scripture says, "He who knew no sin became sin for us." Didn't say He became sinful. It means He took on our sin as our substitute. Holy then means that He is taking care of righteousness and justice. Righteousness says God is holy, man is unholy. Justice says sinful man has to be condemned. Sin has to be paid for. And so what did God do? God sent His Son. Jesus came to the earth to satisfy righteousness and justice. Do you see that? Beautiful. I mean, everything was taken care of. Righteousness was satisfied. Justice was satisfied through the person of Jesus Christ. The fourth word is immutable. His love cannot be corrupted, frustrated, or changed. You ought to write that down. God's love is immutable. His love cannot be corrupted, frustrated, or changed. The next word is omniscient. Divine love always acts rationally and is devoid of any irrationality. Omniscience. Therefore, divine love always acts rationally and is devoid of any irrationality, including the irrationality of emotion. Now, you have to really pay attention. I thank the Lord for emotion, don't you? It's okay. But when the emotion leads us, we're in trouble. If the truth of God leads us and we have appreciation in emotion, then that's wonderful. The next word is veracity. Veracity. Love is rooted in absolute truth. And the last word is infinite. Divine love is without boundary. Divine love is without boundary or limitation. I believe by understanding God's revelation to us about love, we can become advanced believers rather than slaves. Look at the verse again. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us. Let me conjugate again that word. He loved us. Aorist tense means at a point of time He loved us. The active voice means He did it. He produced the action. The indicative mood is the mood of reality. You talk about something real, that's God's love for mankind. How did He manifest this love? He sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. We have to study the characteristics of love, and then we have to understand this Wednesday night the purpose of love, which is in that word, propitiation. May we bow for a moment of prayer, please. In the last moments of our service today, I want to say to you who listen to this message by way of the internet, if you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, your most important decision in life is to accept His magnificent love. The Scripture says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life." You can trust Him right now, and you can be saved. What a magnificent gift. No gift compares to that gift. The gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by Me." In John 3:18, the Scripture says, "He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already." Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And in John 3:36 we read, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life." My friend, today I want you to know that God loves you. Christ died for you. And you can trust Him now. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Father, thank You so much today for the wonderful plan of redemption through Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.